Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here.
You know, another characteristic, we talked about it earlier, is that inner cry. Is that brokenness, that inner cry that says, man, I got to have more. I got to have more. Man, we're living in so much serious, you know, times right now. We need a move of God. We need God to touch our nation. We need God to touch our children. 41% of all pregnancies in New York end in abortion. You know what that number is? That means for every 10 pregnant women, four of them are going to have an abortion. Four out of 10. Wow. That's what that means just in New York. We don't think we need God. But listen, if we need God in our country, we need God in our cities, we need God in our states, in our communities, in our families, we need God in our own personal life. We talked about one of the top three on the torch, and it starts with me, it starts with you. It starts with each of us individually saying, have I just become satisfied with God? Am I at a comfortable place with God? Or do I want more? Do I want more? And the last characteristic, and I'm sure there's more, and the last one we're going to share today with you, is that a desperate person is in tune with the reality of their need. See, a desperate person truly understands they're hungry, that if I don't eat something, if I don't eat something in the next little bit, anything, bug, you know, grass, whatever, if I don't get something inside of me, I'm going to die. A desperate person who's thirsty says, listen, if I don't drink whatever there is to drink, I'm going to die. A desperate person says that if they're in, you know, inclement weather, that their body can't, they'll go into places that they would be terrified to go into because they realize that if I stay out here in the elements, if I stay here in the elements, I'm going to freeze to death. I've got to go in the cave. I've got to go wherever there is. And they'll put themselves in places that they were terrified. They don't know if there's bats there, there's wild animals. But they got to get out of the elements because if they stay in the elements, they're going to die. They're in tune with reality. And the question is for you and for me, are we in tune with reality today? Are we in tune with where we are in God? I think about when God tells Adam, where are you in Genesis? Right. I don't think that God lost track of where Adam was. No. I just for some reason, I don't think that God lost track. But I think that God wanted to help Adam and let Adam process, where are you? And clue that the right answer is not here on 30th block of the garden. He wasn't looking for a physical location.
No.
Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you today? Let me tell you something. That God moves in hunger. He moves in the strong passion and desire. He gives an invitation in Isaiah. All those who are thirsty, come and drink. Come drink from the fountain. Come drink from the living water. But the question is, are you thirsty? In Proverbs, he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. See, the desperate person says, listen, I don't eat white creamy stuff, but I'm hungry, so give me some of that white creamy stuff.
Give me some of them grits.
Give me some of them grits. Give me some of that, you know, ranch, whatever. You know, I just
put some mayonnaise on it.
Put some mayonnaise on it because I'm hungry. Are you hungry today? Let me tell you, God wants to come and invade your world. He wants to turn it upside down. And he wants you to be engaged in an awesome amazing, intimate relationship with him. He wants you to walk with him and talk with him and interact with him. Listen, we only have moments left on earth. Life is but a vapor is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying the world is ending. I'm saying that who knows tomorrow? I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that says, you know, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. Mm-hmm. All you have is today. Mm-hmm. That's all we have is today. Let me tell you something. Make your plan today. Say, God, I'm going to do whatever I have to do in my life. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to scrape all this stuff off of my plate that's made me full and just lethargic. And I'm going to cut out the entertainment. I'm going to cut out the fluff. I'm going to cut out just all the social media. Whatever it is that's stealing you away from God, that's made you just be complacent in your walk. Listen, if it's sin, get the sin out your life and say, God, I want to be desperate. Desperate people get touched from God. And people that get touched by God are never, ever, ever the same.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Protect your kids. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And while it's important to shelter your children, Dr. Julie Slattery says you and your spouse need to agree on a game plan for your teen who demands more adult responsibilities.
I grew up in a Christian home. I was used to being somewhat sheltered from some of the things of the world. He was thrown right in the middle of it. And so his approach is much more, let's expose the boys to things and coach them through them so that they can make their own decisions, whereas I am more apt to want to protect and shelter.
You and your mate need to discuss how to best transfer decision-making to your teen. Try to be on the same page and give gentle, loving guidance as a parent. That can go a long way in reassuring your child that you believe they have what it takes to be a successful adult. More trusted advice for training teens at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
And I think about hope, and that's what I wanted to talk about in this part of the program.
is about hope, because everything about our walk with God is about hope. And, you know, recently politics took over that word and used it. And the word is so powerful and people are so desperate for hope. They went after that. A majority of Americans went after that. But now they realize that it was the kind of hope that disappoints. It wasn't the hope that's in God. Because there is a hope that disappoints, because hope is defined as a desire with an expectation of receiving, getting that which you desire. You think about that. It's not just like, it's not a daydream. It's actually, I have a specific hope that this is going to happen. And so you got a clarity. And we talked about vision earlier in the program, John did. And so he tells us, he says, listen, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So it's not a mystery in the context of it. Like, I know what I'm hoping for. I know what this hope's inside of me. And you have to be very specific of that. And I can't wait to begin to talk about the fourth dimension and Young-E Cho. And this is so exciting to be just that. But it makes me think about Abraham, the father of faith. When you think about, you know, I think it's Romans chapter 4. When, you know, this is a man who understood hope. He was called out. The Lord spoke to Abram at that time, but we're just going to call him Abraham through this talk. And this is, at this point, there is no paradigm. There is no right God paradigm on the earth. But God was going to begin to reveal himself to this man called Abraham. And in that, he had to actually believe what God was saying. He had to just, despite, because there is no paradigm. Understand, there is no paradigm for him. He's not able to go, I'm going to turn on a television. I'm going to turn on the radio. I'm going to go talk to somebody. I'm going to talk to an elder. I'm going to talk to my father. I mean, his father had all these other gods. You know, it was not, it just, there was no, it was, he just had to hear and believe God. And then he heard the voice of the Lord come to him. And the Lord said to him this, he said, get up and I want you to go and I will show you. It wasn't like, okay, you know, this is, I'm painting a picture where you're going to go. This is the roadmap, you know, Google Maps or, you know, whatever. It was just, you got to have faith. You got to have faith that what my plans for you are greater than your plans for yourself. And my ability to lead you is greater than Satan's ability to deceive you. You got to have hope in God. And understand, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter if everybody in your whole community, like it was for Abraham, don't know God, don't believe God. If you believe God, you have hope in God. When God, understand, if he holds the universe together, he breathed life into your body and you're alive because he's good and he's faithful and he's merciful and he wants a relationship with you. You can believe him. You can have hope in God. God will not disappoint you. He may disappoint, you may be disappointed about a father treating you as the son or the daughter you are, but you're not understanding discipline at the time. He's bringing you into the fulfillment of the desires of your heart that lined up with what he has planned for you. But not understanding that, you think, well, I'm disappointed. Well, you're disappointed because you're misunderstanding. He loves you so much, he wants to make you a son. He wants to make you a daughter. And so he had hope. He had hope. And the fact is, he says, listen, the reason why his name went from Abram to Abraham, because that means father of many. That means father of many, because this is what God told him. He says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I mean, think about that. He says, look at the stars. And he says, can you count these? He says, no. He says, that's how many children I'm going to give you. He says, look at the sand. He says, can you count that? No. Well, that's how many children I'm going to give you. Children I'm going to give you. It's like, whoa. And then he can't have children. He's going through life and it's like, my goodness, you know, I know that the Lord told me I'm supposed to have my own business. I know the Lord showed me, you know, stadiums. I know the Lord showed me that I'm supposed to be pastor in a church, or I'm supposed to have a wife and that's supposed to happen, or I'm supposed to have children, or, you know, whatever. But it's like, it's not happening. Why isn't it happening? And understand that it's God's going to fulfill exactly what he said. If you maintain your hope in God, which is your faith in God. And so Abraham went through his whole life, and imagine, because we only live that long, but back then they lived a little bit longer than we live at this particular time. And he went to 90 years old. He went into his 90s. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't happened yet. How many people go, you know, I'm 30 years old and, you know, I'm at the end of my life and it's just not going to happen for me. You know, I'm 40 years old. It's not going to happen for me. You know, I'm 60 years old. It's not going to happen. He was 90. He was 90 years old. And even though he had these circumstances, even though, you know, physically to be able to have a child, your body has to participate and your wife's body has to participate in the process. It got to the point that where, you know, he tried to make it happen early on through some other means. And that just caused all kinds of problems. And those problems are still here today. It's Ishmael and all those things. But God still was faithful. Even in the midst of all that, he was fully persuaded. I mean, against all hope, when everything's coming against you to say, this is not going to work out, you can still maintain your hope. You just don't have hope in that. You don't have hope in this. You don't have hope in your body to be able to do it, maybe. But you have hope in God, that God's able to do what he said he's going to do. And God's looking for someone who just begins to get hope. We saw a great use of the word hope over this nation, and you saw the desire of the people. That's all we want. All we want is hope, you know? But you saw that's a hope that disappoints. I mean, look what's happened. I mean, look what's happened. Yeah. But understand that. We can see that the people of America, what we're really saying is we do want hope, but there's a hope that doesn't disappoint. And the definition of hope is a desire inside of you for something with an expectation of obtaining that desire. And what you're seeing right now, when you had an expectation of getting something that you hope for, that it doesn't happen, then you're disappointed. So that's a hope that disappoints. So that means that maybe we had our faith in the wrong thing. We didn't have it in God. We had it in politics. We had it in leaders. We had it in concepts, ideas, schemes, you know, political speech, whatever it is. I don't know. But when you have faith in God, you have hope in God. I mean, Abraham, against all hope, he faced the facts. I mean, he faced these facts that I cannot do this myself. I even tried it once. It didn't work out. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead in regards to being able to have a child. He faced the fact that his wife, Sarah, that her womb was dead. It was not, would not have another child. It doesn't work. But he's still in the midst of facing the facts. He didn't bury his head in the sand of denial. He didn't hide himself from his realities. He didn't say, oh, no, don't say that. You're going to mess with my faith. I mean, he looked his reality dead in the eye, and he said, but still my God's able to deliver. My God told me that I'm going to be the father of many nations, that I can't count the stars in the sky or the sand of the sea, and that's how my children are going to be. And because he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he could do, despite all the circumstances, God says he accredited all his entire life as the father of faith. This is like the father of faith in whose bosom will be welcomed in heaven. And what did he do? He said, you know what? I'm just going to keep hope. I'm going to keep hope. I'm going to keep hope alive, but it's hope in God, the kind of hope that does not disappoint. And if you haven't yet got into the Word of God yet to find out what he said, listen, you don't have anything to lock into. You got to get into the Word and get into the promises of God and realize he's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind. God himself does not speak and not act or promise and not fulfill. All of his promises in Christ Jesus are yes.
God's been really talking to me the last couple of days about suffering.
Oh, goodness.
I remember when I first got saved, you know, I started reading the book of Revelations, and, you know, I was you just love, you know, prophecy and things are coming. And that was a wild, wild book when I first read it. And I was like, man.
Right.
And of course, my theology at that time, man, we're definitely post-trib. It's post-trib. We're going to go through some stuff, man. We're going to suffer greatly. And, but anyway, you know, of course, as you grow as a believer, you know, you kind of look at things a little bit differently. And you read about suffering. You know, a lot of times we suffer because of our own foolishness.
Mm.
You know, but the Bible talks about, you know, to this we were called to suffer. You know, it's much greater to suffer for the cause of Christ, you know, for standing up for righteousness, you know.
Yes.
But how often is that the case? You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, you hear the other side where people say, well, if you're suffering, obviously you've done something wrong.
Obviously.
You're obviously in sin. What have you done?
Right.
You know, but the Bible talk says clearly, you know, that's a lot of times that's something God's working, something else out in you.
Ooh.
And And I was just had me reading a book of Job here recently, and just in the first couple of chapters, and that book's always
that encouraging
baffled
book.
Me. Yeah, especially in the very beginning where it talks about, you know, when the angels and Satan were presenting themselves before the Lord. It's like, wow, I wonder what that meeting was like. And then, of course, then the Lord says to Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? There was no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. And of course, here's Satan's reply to that. He says, well, does Job fear God for nothing? You know, have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all his goods? Have you not blessed the work of his hands, so his flocks and his herds that are spread throughout the land? But he says, but strike your hand against everything he has, and surely he will curse you to his face. So God says, okay, well, let's try that theory. So he gave him permission to do that. And so, you know, in a day, Job loses everything.
Wow.
Everything. He loses his flocks, his herds, his he lost servants, he lost all 10 of his children in a day.
Wow.
But in all that, Job did not curse the name of the Lord. So then, of course, that's the second time, you know, Satan appears to him, appears before the Lord, and he goes, well, if you strike his body, his flesh, if you really just, you know, go against that, then obviously he'll definitely curse you to your face. So again, says, okay, give it a shot, see what happens. And then, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but, you know, obviously Job did not curse the Lord. Went through major suffering, a serious major suffering. I mean, his body was covered with boils to the point where he was like scraping the scabs off with pottery and horrible. I can imagine going through that. And of course, Job went on that journey, you know, self-pity and whatever and questioning God, but he never cursed God. He never talked against the Lord. He knew better than that because he did fear the Lord. Of course, his encouragers were of no help. His wife even said, curse God and die.
Oh my goodness.
You know, I was like, great. Bad enough, I'm dying over here.
Encourage me here.
Yeah, right. You're over here shooting your mouth off. Like, just go away. Just go away. But if you,
curse God. Oh my goodness.
Exactly. So, but if you read in James, it says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you are mature, complete, and not lacking anything. A lot of times people are just fair weather believers, you know. They're all about God and everything. Everything's just great and everything's going right. But as soon as the first wind comes along,
first trial,
they're gone. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't fill out the church, you know, they quit tithing, you know, everything just, you know, comes to an end.
I'm done.
It's right. Over. This God thing ain't working.
Mm.
You know, obviously, you know, you sinned kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's the testing of our faith. It's those times of trials and sufferings. He's saying, consider pure joy. Those are the times that our characters are built, you know, which makes you stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing. You know, it's not a negative thing, which doesn't make sense to the natural mind.
Sure.
Like, how can this suffering be good? How can these boils be good? How can all my losing everything be a good thing? But if you read the rest of the story of Job, he gets it all back. I think it was like sevenfold.
And then some.
And
yeah.
then some. I mean, it was like, if you hang on, if you don't quit,
right?
You know, if you don't give up,
You
know, there's a blessing on the other end of this.
Sure.
You know, but you're going to learn something through this trial.
Right.
Man, that is so powerful, so true. I think about in Hebrews when Jesus, Hebrews 5, says during
yeah, go ahead.
Says during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Says although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Mm.
I mean, he's like, wait a minute. Jesus.
All right.
Jesus suffered. He learned obedience by what he suffered. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. wow. And it was reverent submission. And get this. And once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. He had to be made perfect. The suffering made him perfect. And once he was made perfect at that time, he became the source of eternal salvation. And it's like, man, you got to be willing to go through. So God's mm-hmm. doing something.
Right.
Now, we talked about that in a segment not too long ago. It says, don't think it's strange. God's just working on you.
Exactly.
And you can find that on the VFN Torch. Don't think it's strange.
Right. If Jesus had to suffer, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. You can go through that little trial. Come on.
Right.
You know, you're not being crucified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're not having your beaten and flogged and having your beard ripped out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
You can hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion, you know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right mm-hmm. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened mm-hmm. to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, mm-hmm. but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right.
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen.
Right.
Just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I also read in Matthew 5, it says, he says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good.
Mm.
And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing strange that you go through things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you come to God doesn't mean you're never going to go through anything ever again. It's not this get out of jail free card. It's like, right. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be perfect and just wonderful now. It's just, it's not like that.
No.
You know, it's not like that at all. And you're looking at your these people, they're obviously unrighteous. And it looks like they're just prospering. Everything's going well for them. And it's like, man, what's the point in serving God? Look at these evil people. Look what they're, you know, they're blessed.
Right. But Jesus tells us not to even do that.
Exactly.
Right. Because without him, we're all evil. I mean, if we just took one pinky off.
Hello. Hello. You just got your reward.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it just gave me a great understanding, great perspective on, you know, the purpose for suffering, and there's a purpose for it. You know, it's not a negative. It's not necessarily a negative thing.
I tell you what, don't waste your suffering. Mm-mm. I mean, your suffering, you could either get bitter or you can get better, but you can't get both.
Right.
And if you know, if you're gonna suffer, you know what I'm saying, the first question is, okay, God,
what he's saying, yeah,
because he could use it. I mean, God's not, he's not trying to torture us. He's not trying to, but there's things that we have to learn. There's things that we grow in God through some of the trials that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest things that it does is allows us to find out where our dependency is. Who are we trusting in?
Exactly. It's definitely,
you know what I'm saying?
It's a testing of our faith.
It's
are we
testing.
Really in the faith? Are we just a fair weather believer?
Yeah. Because let me tell you something. When the trials come, talk about, you know, having any roots, when the cares of this world happen, if you don't have it, if your roots are not down deep, you're going to be tossed all over the place. You're going to be ripped to shreds, and it's the trial. It's the trial that you can find God in that trial. Let me tell you something. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than finding God in the midst of a trial. Mm, you know,
so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank God for it. You know, I mean, you could be going through something today, and it's the trial of your life. It's you, 6 months ago, a month ago, you could never imagine going through what you're going through today.
Right.
And it's these sobering moments sometimes that happen in our lives that causes us to kind of shake us a little bit, and to help us to do that recalibrating, that realigning, refocusing, and remembering on the things that matter most. You know, who is God? What is he to me? And how's my relationship with him right now? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. I remember, you know, I look back on my life, and it's during those times that I grew the most.
Yeah.
You know, because it's during those times that you're at the cross. You know, you're at the feet of Jesus, you know, and we go through, you know, we go through these different trials because God is trying to grow us and strengthen us for the things that are even coming that haven't even hit us yet.
That's right.
You know, these are times of preparation for even the things that we're talking about now.
Right.
You know, we went through what we've gone through to prepare us for what's coming next.
That's right.
Right.
Right. That's very good.
Right.
Yeah. It just builds our strength.
Exactly.
You know, if I can handle this, you know, it's going to give me energy and strength to handle this next thing.
Right.
Absolutely. And once you see God pull you through this trial, believe you me, you'll have faith to believe God will pull you through the next one. And not only will you have faith for yourself, but then now you can become an extension of God's love, because now you can go back and you can encourage people and you can minister people and say, let me tell you something. What God did for me, he can surely do
that's
for you.
Exactly right.
The word of their testimony.
That's right.
Absolutely. And suffering also allows us to have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing that when you don't go through anything, your level, your two things diminish: your ability to empathize with others, and that's just to go kind of go through and feel what they've been feeling, and your ability to love is greatly diminished. But let me tell you something: be sick in your body for a little while, be hurting a little while in your body, and you will look at people that are sick in a completely different way. You know, I might have said this before, but you know, when I was sick with the flu one time, and I was so just terribly ill. I mean, for a long time, I'd hear people say they had the flu, and I thought,
they're just having a cold. Yeah. What are you all complaining about? It's just a cold. You know?
Get over it. Just take a pill.
Yeah. You know, I'm the type of person, I don't slow down, you know, I'll keep going sick or whatever. And not probably the wisest thing to do. Not the wisest thing to do, but it's just kind of how I'm wired. And so I'm like, you know, take some cough medicine and let's go. Come on. until I got the flu one day. And I got this flu that hit me so bad. I mean, I was out of work for an entire week. I mean, that's never, ever, ever happened to me, ever. I just could not get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you that there was no medication. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that could help me. Listen, when you're sick and you can't shake it, all I could do is just lay in my bed and pray. But sick was one thing. The pain that I felt in my body, the only way I could describe it is if someone turned me over, and I'm laying on my belly, and just beat me with a bat from the top of my back all the way down to the bottom of my feet. It was just excruciating. It hurt me to sit.
Yeah.
And instantly, as I was just praying in pain, you know, I just felt like I had such a compassion came over me for the elderly. And I'm thinking, Lord, how many elderly today? I mean, if I'm sick with the flu, are there any elderly that are going through what I'm going through right now? I'm strong and I'm young and I'm going through this, and I'm whimpering here in pain because the pain was just unreal.
Right.
And I just, all this compassion just started welling up for the elderly and their sickness.
That's right.
And so, you know, unless you have been out of work and you can't put food on the table, unless you've been through a trial and you've lost a loved one, you know what I'm saying? Unless you went through something that you never thought you could ever go through. And the thing is that, you know, we talked about this in the first hour. Why does the church have to be persecuted? Why do we have to go through a suffering before we can look up and turn to God?
That's right.
That's the whole thing about having an attitude of gratitude and begin your prayer life, begin your time communing and talking with God. With the first things that you say to him is, listen, after I love you, I thank you. Mm-hmm. And keep going. We've oftentimes, you know, we don't want our prayer life to be a list of, you know, submitting a check rec from God, if you will, a check requisition from God. This is what I need, and you know, can you hook me up, and can you send me that check, and can you? But we want to start off with an attitude of gratitude and just begin to start thanking Him.
Absolutely.
I mean, we are so incredibly blessed, and it's something that we talk about here often. But listen, we have new VFN radio listeners joining us every single day, and if you're joining us now, you're joining us in the extra hour. And we've been talking about sufferings and trials and things that we've gone through looking at the life of Job.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you were sharing, Pat, that James says that, listen, welcome, you know,
yeah.
Look at these trials with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, welcome these trials as friends because it's a perfecting of your faith. And if Jesus himself learned obedience from the things he suffered and the student is not above the master, we can embrace the same attitude.
To this we were called, right?
To this we were called. I mean, you either find yourself in one of three places. You're either coming out of a trial, either, you know, in the middle of a trial, or you're about to get in one.
You're about to face one. That's where America's at right now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's where we're at.
America thinks that they're suffering, but they're not suffering yet.
Right. I mean, they're suffering for many reasons. You know, like I said before, it could be because of your own foolishness, which is where America's at right now, because we turn our backs on God, or because God's obviously wanting to work something out in you that needs to be strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Which end of that are we going to be on, right?
But the level of suffering that is going to come upon this land, unless there's repentance, it's going to be really great. And what we're talking about here is encouragement for you to remember that, listen, no matter how big or small that trial may be, remember that you can turn to God. It's never too late to turn to God. And if there's nothing you've ever could have done, that God will reject you and turn his back on you. And the enemy may be condemning you because you're in this trial and it was your fault and you did this and now you're going through a situation. It's not just you, but now your family's going through it. And you know, you're feeling awful and he's just condemned. Listen, God doesn't want you to stay in guilt and shame. You're not trying to earn your penance. You're just not. You're not trying to pay off a debt to God. Sometimes the enemy can lie to you and say, "Well, I'll just stay depressed for 6 months, and then after, then God will forget the sin."
Right.
You don't need to wait no 6 months, and you know, walking around dragging your head and all that type of stuff. You can cry out now and say, "God, God, Son of David, have mercy on me."
That's right.
And yesterday we talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and it's the self-righteous person that was just, you know, the Pharisee that didn't. Was talking about all his good deeds.
Right.
But it was actually the tax collector who stood at a distance, who beat at his chest.
Yeah.
And said, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Well, my goodness, we can welcome our trials
as friends.
As friends. Mm. God's working on us. Amen. God's working on us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, "Your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God." He says, "It's a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God," which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn. And after the basketball tournament.
Is it a tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
No, I just, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament?
A tournament. But anyway, there was this basketball game.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Guarding your hearts. I want to speak briefly about the other topics we'll have to get to in our next program, because you're hearing a lot of pretty major things right now, and I want to be able to encourage you how to guard your heart. But think about that. Guarding your heart. You see on television today, late night, if you're actually not sleeping, they have commercials on that says, "Are you suffering from anxiety?" And they must be selling a lot of stuff, because you know, I'll see it 6 months down the road and it's still running.
Still there?
And you probably are. If you don't know how to guard your heart, you probably are suffering from all kinds of anxiety. But You know, God's word tells us very specifically how we can guard our heart. And I'm looking at in Philippians chapter 4, and he talks about in 4, it is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice," with an explanation mark. Think about that, just rejoicing. And he's like making a point. He said, "Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The Lord is near you." Think about what should you fear if God's near you? "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And by doing all this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Think about that. I mean, there's something you have to do. Yeah, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. If what? If you learn how to rejoice and realize God has overcome this life. He's overcome this life. There's nothing to be afraid of. The root of fear is the fear of death or the fear of loss. And as long as you're afraid to die, you don't understand salvation yet. You don't understand that we are in this life, but we're not of this life, but God has prepared a place for you. And the moment that you do die, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're going to be present with God forever. You win, or loss or injury. And it's like, right now, the church is being so persecuted in the Middle East. I mean, who are we in America to say anything about what's taking place? But even in that, and I believe that Paul wrote this from prison, understanding that we're supposed to rejoice always. And he said again, he says, "I'm telling you, rejoice." And how can you rejoice under these circumstances when darkness is pushing and doing these wild and crazy things right now? It's because you've already overcome in Christ Jesus. All we're doing at this point is letting everybody know that God loves them. God has a plan for their life, and they don't have to choose darkness. And though they're being used by the hordes of hell today, they can make a choice to leave those ranks and enter into the army of God, the family of God, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. They can get saved. I mean, think about it. That's why we're here. It's not about white picket fences. It's about gold streets. It's about heaven. It's about a place where there's no more tears and no more pain. And it's like, man, I want to see some happy Christians. Yeah, we can look at all this stuff, but we're not concerned about that. We're not concerned about the fact that ourselves taking a loss. We're concerned about our brothers and sisters going through suffering. Yeah, we're concerned about tragedies and things that we're going through, but we're not losing our joy in the context of this, because even if they take my life, and think about this. In Hebrews, when he writes to the church, he says, listen, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, listen, I see where they took all your stuff and all your things, and you went through all this persecution, and you didn't shrink back in the faith. That's the reality of this journey sometimes. Sometimes it ends up like that. And when you talk about anxiousness, I mean, think about the definition of being anxious. He says, don't be anxious about anything. And anxiousness is defined as full of mental distress. You ever talk to those people? I mean, they're biting their fingernails. They're biting their toenails. They're telling you all these problems. It's like, what are you worried about there? Nothing. Like nothing. Your mind is filled with anxious distress. And he says, it says definition is a mind full of mental distress and uneasiness because of fear of danger or misfortune, greatly worried. He's like, you don't have, he says, cheer up. He says, these things are going to happen. Look up, your redemption is near. Don't buy in so much to this life that you forget about the life after. This eternal life with Jesus Christ. Some of the words that mean the same thing as anxiousness is concerned, disturbed, apprehensive, fearful, uneasy, dread. People say, I'm not afraid, I just dread it. I just dread doing that. That's the definition of fear and anxiety. So many people are moving and like, you know, they regret yesterday and they dread tomorrow. Mm. And what that is somebody living in a constant state of fear. God exists in the today. He exists in the now. He said, Moses, when you go tell them and you talk about me, you tell them that I am, not that I was or I will be. I'm your ever-present help in time of trouble. Today is the day of salvation. You have to learn to live in the now. If you're living your life regretting yesterday and dreading tomorrow, you are captivated. You're captive by fear and anxiety. And he says, listen, be anxious for nothing, for no reason. Just don't even, there's no good reason to be anxious. Anxious people try to make you anxious. You minister to them, you help them out, and finally you separate yourself from them. If they refuse to break free from the captivity of Lucifer, who has them captive with fear when only thing that pleases God is faith, you got to get in an area that, with people that are going to encourage you and move out of that anxiety. That's one of the reasons why we have VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Yes, we look the truth square in its eye, but we tell you the truth of the Word of God and say, you know what? We have a biblical perspective of this. We're not going to be anxious about it. We're not going to be fearful or worried about it. And then he says, but in everything by prayer, which we always talk about abiding with God. We talk about spending time with God at iabide.org. With petitions. Think about this. With prayer and petitions and thanksgiving. You're just a thankful person. You're grateful. You know how to be grateful. He says, present your request to the Lord. And the definition of petitions, just so you know it, is a request made from someone, some desire that you have, especially a respectful and honorable request. In other words, it's very serious, but you're understanding you're talking to God or to someone who's in authority, and that God is in authority. So when you're talking, it's not just like, give me this, give me that. You're really thinking this thing through, and it's very specific, and you're thinking God, and you're bringing all those things to Him, and you're allowing that to be with the Lord. And then you say, you know what? After I've rejoiced, after I've prayed, after I brought my petitions to God, and I'm being thankful for God, and God's got me. I'm not concerned about today, yesterday or tomorrow, because God has guided. Guess what? That's when the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's not like I'm a Christian, therefore I have peace. No, this is the journey to peace, what I was talking about. So I just want to say, you know, rid yourself of this anxiety. It's of the devil. It is not any, it's meant to rattle your life, rattle your cage, and in your life before it's time to blow out your arteries, to blow out your heart, to blow out your mind, to ruin your family and ruin your business. That, you know what? I'm going to live a life of peace. I'm not going to let the enemy torment me. I'm going to begin to dedicate my life to God. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to abide with Him. I'm going to make my petitions known to Him. I'm going to be thankful and grateful. And guess what? Then the peace of God is going to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at vfntv.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out, when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
because
it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions. Mm. Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this. Mm-hmm. They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.